how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
All right, everybody, welcome into the Tuesday morning live stream. We had a little late night action last night, Jerry, with a commitment to the University of Texas. But first, Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. This show brought to you by our friends at Texas Electricity Ratings. Jerry, give us the latest on Jackson Christian, offensive lineman out of Port Neches Groves, who has committed to the Longhorns.
Yeah, first of all, also let us know where you're checking in from, everybody. I saw Sneedville, Tennessee. I hadn't seen that one before, so that's awesome as we continue to grow. But just let us know where you're checking in from. I love seeing that every morning. Lafayette, Tennessee there. I didn't say that right, I guarantee you. But Jackson Christian commits to Texas last night. Look, we've been talking that he's a player that we had kind of been mentioning could move up his timeline, knowing that the spring game was May 13th. And that got bumped back to tonight, by the way, because the weather was awful yesterday in the Houston area. I was at Hightower High and the electricity was flickering for about 15 minutes. But Kyle Flood was down at Port Neches Groves yesterday to see Jackson Christian. And Jackson Christian ended up committing to the University of Texas yesterday. So first offensive lineman, I actually put the list on ontexasfootball.com. Not a better time to go become an OTF OG than right now over at ontexasfootball.com. Kyle Flood now has 16 linemen, 15 signed, one committed. That's the first from the Golden Triangle at Texas for Kyle Flood and Steve Sarkisian. And I love that Texas took Jackson Christian. I really love that he's from that Port Neches Groves, that Golden Triangle area. Those are tough kids, man. Hard-nosed, tough-minded kids. Look no further than Rashawn Johnson, right? I mean, think back to Earl Thomas, right? It's all those guys, James Brown going way back, right? And there's people that will go back farther than I was. I'm 49, so there'll be some guys, Steve Wooster, guys like that, but before my time, obviously. But, James Brown, just the tough-minded, hard-nosed guys. I love Texas taking guys from the Golden Triangle area. And Jackson Christian, that was a head-to-head win, Texas over Texas A&M. Both programs wanted him. He was on campus multiple times at both those programs. But I'd mentioned this recruitment reminded me of Jaden Chapman for a while. In that, Jaden Chapman was more of a national recruit, but in that, Kyle Flood was really early to the party on Jaden Chapman. And that meant Texas got Chapman on campus more than any other school. And so when everybody else started kind of coming in and offering Jaden Chapman, they were way behind. Jackson Christian's been on campus four or five times, and that's prior to his June 21st official visit. So even when the new staff A&M came in, Mike Elko and all those guys, and they tried to make a run at Jackson Christian, Kyle Flood was way ahead in that relationship. He'd been on campus so many times since being offered that I think Texas – that recruitment reminded me of Jaden Chapman, and I think that was a key reason why Texas won out and Kyle Flood won out. Because relationships still do matter on some level in recruiting, right? But also, when the academic – this is an academic and football recruitment. So both those pieces had to come together to equal a commitment. And when that happened for Texas, Jackson Christian went ahead and committed yesterday. So first offensive line commit in the 25 class. I expect there to be four or five more in the class, so a five- or six-man recruiting class. And there's a number of guys – still on the board that are going to officially visit. Now the question becomes, does anybody else speed up their timeline?
And speaking of that, Jerry, I mean, what you know, we talk about this timeline thing. Texas now has seven commitments overall. It's the first offensive lineman. What does the overall board look like on the offensive line right now? Kind of start with the tackles that they're after and then go to the guys that are the kind of the switch guys that can play inside, outside, and then talk about the true interior guys.
Yes, I think that's it's a great way to break it down. So Michael Fasusi and Lamont Rogers, pure tackles, right? Then I think you get to three guys, Nick Brooks out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, John Mills, and Jordan Coleman. those guys are kind of swing guys. They could play a tackle. They could end up being a big-time guard, right, if not tackle. There's three guys there. Then, you know, you get to a Tyler Thomas at Dickinson's a guard, right? And Devin Coleman from Cedar Hill, he's a guard center, but I'm trending to center here. I think center may end up being his position, and I think he could be tremendous at it. So I think that's kind of the breakdown of these guys right now for me on the offensive line. And look, I put out a story at ontexasfootball.com this morning about where those guys have come from that Kyle Flood signed. 8 DFW, right? And so the first one, Golden Triangle, 2 from Houston area. That's Kelvin Banks and Nate Kibble, obviously. Then Brandon Baker in California. There's Peyton Kirkland, the only guy that's left out of Florida. Then there's Malik Ogbo from Washington. So what's left in this 25 class? It's a strong, strong group in the state of Texas in 2025. So I think if you're an out-of-state prospect, if Texas takes an out-of-state offensive lineman in this class, Texas thinks that guy's a surefire NFL player. So that gets you to Nick Brooks, who's, I think, Texas and Georgia are the top two. Iowa will get the last visit, but I'd be surprised if he goes to Iowa. I really think he'll come down to Texas and Georgia out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa there. Nick Brooks and John Mills. The Texas is very, very high on John Mills. And it's similar to Jaden Chapman, but an out-of-state prospect. Texas was one of the first big schools, one of the first three Power 5, now Power 4 schools in on John Mills out of St. Ignatius in San Francisco. So that tells you how much Kyle Flood, Steve Sarkisian think of John Mills. But it's a great class in-state. The majority of that class will come from in-state. But there's a couple out-of-state prospects that Texas really likes.
Hey, Jerry, real quick, a quick question I thought was relevant to his recruitment as well. Chris Young asked, what is Jackson Christian planning to study at Texas? It's my understanding that he was really interested in engineering, and that's one of the reasons why it came down to Texas and Texas A&M. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's 100% accurate. He's going to be an engineering major, and that's a big reason why those two schools, even if some other schools had come in, it was going to be difficult. And I think some colleges knew that if you called the, Port Neches staff, I think it was going to be close to home. It was going to be an engineering major. So that, if there's 3, 4, 5 schools nationally that were thinking about offering him, they pretty much knew, okay, that's they're wasting their time because it just wasn't going to work out for them. They're too far from home. So that he's going to be an engineering major, and that's why it came down to Texas and Texas A&M, and he was going to stay close to his parents. He was going to stay close to home.
Got it. All right. That is the recruiting update. Jackson Christian becoming the 7th commitment for the Longhorns in the class of 2025. We got a couple other things going on this morning we want to get to. A new college graduate. We were just talking about engineering. A new college graduate will be joining us around 8:30. Jermichael Finley, the former Longhorn, turned tight end, turned NFL player, turned now college graduate. He graduated on Saturday with his class at the University of Texas. We'll be talking to him, not only about him as a player and his time at UT and what he sees on the field these days, but also his son. One of his sons is a top-ranked recruit, a class of 2026 receiver prospect out of Aledo. We'll be talking to him about that, as well as things that happened this weekend. I know it was a proud moment for Jermichael and his family, for sure. Also have some comments and notes about some other things going on. The NFL draft, Jerry, this is one of the things I wanted to talk about. 41 of the first 43 picks in the NFL draft, and I want to relate this to recruiting if we can when we get there. 41 of the first 43 picks in the NFL draft were either quarterbacks, wide receivers, edge, defensive tackle, offensive tackle, or cornerback. 6 positions took up 41 of the first 43 picks. So only 2, kind of outliers, so to speak. I want to talk about what does that mean from a recruiting perspective? Like, what are you doing if you're a coach and you're trying to recruit like Steve Sarkisian? What are you thinking? Are you prioritizing those positions, or are you looking for just great players all around? I want to kind of think about that context as well. Before we get going any further. Before we go into that stuff, I want to say thank you to our sponsor today. Our sponsor is our friends at Texas Electricity Ratings. If you are in a deregulated area of Texas, like Dallas or Houston, you understand that the deregulated electricity market can be confusing. You may have an issue with I don't know. There's websites out there like Power to Choose that could get you off the mark. Texas Electricity Ratings is a shopping website that lets you compare prices, read customer reviews, and find a good electricity plan that fits your needs. It also filters out a lot of the gimmicky plans that try to trick customers. So if you're in the market for a new electricity plan, shop TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF for all your electricity needs. We appreciate them for their sponsorship of Tuesday morning's live stream. All right, Jerry, let's talk a little bit about these 41 of 43.
Yeah. Right?
At the positions of quarterback, wide receiver, edge, defensive tackle, offensive tackle, and cornerback. All right. It's interesting to me that of those 41, no Anthony Hill wouldn't be on that list, right? Yet we know that he has a extreme impact on the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah.
Right. What about one of the only two players, by the way, that were anomalies of that 41 and 43 was Brock Bowers at tight end, who you could make an argument he was the best player in college football the last couple of years.
Right.
You know, like as an all-around player, not a quarterback. And that was the tight end from Georgia. And then Graham Barton, an offensive lineman center out of Duke. Those are only two anomalies. Does this mean anything for Steve Sarkisian? Should he start prioritizing those positions any more than he already is? Or is recruiting a little bit different because you have 25 guys that you're working with, not just seven rounds of draft picks?
Yeah, I think it's a little different, right? But I do think in recruiting, those are the priority guys. In the NIL world we live in, those are the guys. Obviously it starts at quarterback, then you have to protect the quarterback, then you have to rush the quarterback, then the quarterback has to have somebody to throw the ball to, especially if they have speed and size and wingspan and catch radius, and then you better be able to cover that guy for long enough. So, I mean, that pretty much lines up. That lines up with the college game in recruiting, so to speak. But I think everything that Texas is doing, they're on the right track. I think they've addressed the edge position at Texas since they've got there. It's been a slow build to get to the Trey Moore and the Colin Simmons. And what it means to me, really, when you look at that, is you're never going to win all the battles. We've talked about this before. If Texas signs three or four out of the top 10 in the state, that's a really good class. Kirby Smart's dominated college football in recent years, and he'll sign 3.5 to 4. So 3.5, 3 1 year, 4 1 year out of the top 10 of the state in Georgia. You're not going to sign all these guys. But those premium positions, those Colin Simmons of the world, they become even that much more important when you have a big time guy, an elite guy, truly elite guy in state, Bobby, that can really make a difference.
I find it interesting because I'm looking at it. Quarterback, Texas has KJ Lacy. Wide receiver, Texas has not gotten a wide receiver as yet in this class. Edge, Lance Jackson.
Big time.
Yep. Defensive tackle. We have Brandon Brown. No offensive tackles quite yet. We think Jackson Christian's a tackle guard kind of combo. And then no cornerback yet. So of the seven, not all of them in that category at this time for the long run. I think that because there's 25 scholarships, I think you're looking for the best players and you're trying to create a team. I want to say this. I feel like going back for those people that have been around Texas a long time, I feel like John Makovic actually did a good job of recruiting those positions. Quarterback, wide receiver, edge, defensive tackle, offensive tackle, and cornerback, but didn't necessarily do a great job of all the other positions.
Yeah.
And so you got a team that was a little hit or miss. It could hit the high notes. It could beat James Brown could beat Nebraska, right? But then they might get beat by 30 by somebody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's where it doesn't necessarily apply. This kind of idea of what the NFL is doing doesn't necessarily apply equally to college football.
I think another big thing in recruiting is you have to cast a wide net to ensure you get these guys. That's the one thing I'll say is, you know what, if you're going to take two or three edge guys in a class, which is where Texas is at in 25, you got to bring in six high-level guys. I mean, that the bottom line is it's a numbers game. Look, even Nick, even Kirby, go down the list. they're gonna bring in 2.5-3 times amount of guys that they're gonna sign at these positions, and they know it's a real battle royale for all those guys, right? So I mean, if you look at it, the Texas edges, for instance, Lance Jackson's committed, obviously coming in June 14th through 16th. Hayden Lowe out of California, some believe could be a first-round pick one day. We'll see. Smith Orogbo out of A-Leaf Hastings. Damian Shanklin out of Indianapolis. Marco Jones out of NorCal. I mean, so there's five guys at edge right there to get two or three spots, right? So you figure another guy may be added to that, but that's five guys for two spots or five guys for three spots. Maybe it ends up being six guys that visit for two or three spots. So I think Texas is on the right track in what they're doing, right? I mean, that's the thing I look at is at receiver. Does Texas have a receiver committed right now? No. But just look at who is visiting. Are they going to fill that? Are they going to go three or four is a big question to me. It's been gone back and forth. But you have DK Moore, who you have a spot for until December, but he'll make a final decision before his senior season. You have Jamie French, where I was last Monday at Jacksonville Mandarin. You go down that list, Khalik Lockett, Kelshon Johnson. Texas has a lot of shots on goal at wide receiver here. So you know they're going to come away with two of those extremely high-level guys to get maybe they went out for three. But I think what Texas is doing is they're getting enough shots on goal at all these positions to sign the type of players and the type of classes they need. D-line, I think you'll see that that class kind of expand more so, add a couple more official visitors here before June to kind of get to that number where it's workable. But, I mean, Kenny Baker's just going out and seeing these guys for the first time. So I think Texas is continuing to do the right things in recruiting. I think they're on the right track. I've had a couple of people ask about DeCorey Moore. I do have a little bit of an update on DeCorey Moore. The reason he hasn't released his official visit list yet is he's kind of working around the OT7 national tournament is on one of the big official visit weekends. So he's kind of working around that because schools always want the weekend official visit. Texas is going to get an official visit. I'll be surprised if it's not June 21st through 23rd, but we'll see. He hasn't released him because he's kind of working around a little scheduling conflict in early June right now.
Yeah. There's going to be, look, you got to be a little patient with the big time guys. You're not always going to get them the exact weekend you want. You're hopeful, but that's not part of it. I do like that term shots on goal though, Jerry. Yeah. That's descriptive. And I think people understand it pretty simply. Hey, if you're going to bring 10 guys in, you're hoping to get three.
Yep.
Now you don't know which three you're going to click with. Next necessarily, right? But that's a good question. I want to go back and mention this real quick. Jackson Christian, the offensive lineman, committed to Texas last night out of Port Neches Groves High School in the Golden Triangle. One of the guys that I forgot to mention in the Golden Triangle last night or this morning that I watched play, Shane Dronette, yeah, was down there from Bridge City area. He's another big-time guy from the Golden Triangle area. Someone asked where the Golden Triangle is. Basically, it's Port Neches, Port Arthur, and Beaumont
yeah,
is the area that we're going to get to. But before we go there, Jerry, I want to ask you one question about Jackson Christian and his commitment. Who is next? A couple of people want to know who's next. James Simon announces on May 29th. Is that most likely the next guy, a couple weeks away now, 16 days away?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll see if somebody pops before that. But I do know that late May, I think a couple of guys are possibilities to come off the board before the June official visits. But, again, the majority of these guys are going to go through this June official visit process and announce late June, early July, right around July 4th, before July 4th, and certainly before their senior season. Because I'll say this, every high school coach I've talked to wants their kid committed before August. I mean, I haven't talked to a high school coach. And remember, I've been in Georgia, Florida, and Texas. Yep. I've not talked to a single high school coach that doesn't want their kid to have a decision before senior year. So there's not a circus for these highly ranked kids, because that's who we're dealing with covering Texas for the majority, for the most part, is the kids that are highly ranked. The recruiting can become a circus because there's so much interest from the media side, from the colleges side, from the community side, they want these guys committed before senior season.
All right, Jerry, good stuff. I'm going to welcome in our special guest right now, guy from Dieball, Texas, originally. Now, by way of the University of Texas, has a full-on graduate degree from the University of Texas. Jermica Finley, welcome to the show, bud. I think you're on mute, Jermichael. There you go. You're good now. How you doing, man?
How you doing there, my man?
Yes, sir. Look, you're from the Mobile Command Center. You're from the Mobile Command Center. That's normally Jerry who's on the road like that because he's out seeing recruits. Congratulations from everybody here on your degree from the University of Texas. I know you made some people proud when you walked across the stage this weekend.
Yeah, man. It was a milestone. It was pretty awesome, man, to go back to the University of Texas and finish school and, you know what I mean, to get my degree and, you know what I mean, finish what I started, man. It was a very surreal feeling.
How long did it take you to go back once you decided to go do that? Like, was it a semester, two semesters, three or four? Because you left early for the NFL draft, too.
I left the University of Texas as a redshirt sophomore, so it took me three semesters to finish.
Gotcha. And what did you get your degree in, Jermichael?
I got it in a bachelor in science. I'm going to go back. I'm going to sit on it for a little while, probably go back into coach. You know what I mean? Whatever interest I get, hopefully it's something that I would like to do. Hopefully it's a team that I would like to coach for. But you know what I mean? Just to get it, to show my boys that you can go have a great career, go win a Super Bowl and go do all these great things. But one thing you got to do is get your education.
Yeah. Jermichael, obviously, you know what I'm going to ask you about Caden, right? I mean, look, he's becoming a guy that's getting a lot of offers. What, he has 69 catches for over 1,100 yards in 2 years in high school football, started as a freshman at Aledo. What's it like now as a father having a son that's going to end up being a national recruit? You've been through this process. Now, for the Texas fans that don't remember, first time I ever saw Jermichael was at Houston Hoops on an AAU basketball court. So you were a high-level recruit in basketball and football, but what's it like as a father now having a son that's headed down that same path? Plays wide receiver, by the way, but headed down that same path.
It's fun. It's one of those things where I got to kick in my inner kid. You know what I mean? Think like a kid sometimes, and he is getting offers here, there, everywhere. It's going crazy right now. But one thing I tell him is to keep it small. Don't let this moment get too big because it can. And it can get overwhelming for these kids at times because especially for kids that's getting offers all the time, you tend to like look for offers daily, especially when you're getting them day in, day out, coaches coming in. Like flying into Aledo like crazy. And I just try to keep this moment small as possible for him and try to keep the brain inside his head and don't let this get big headed because daddy will still spank your butt.
Hey, Jermichael, we're speaking with Jermichael Finley, former Longhorn player, newly minted Longhorn graduate. Jermichael, I had a question for you. Last time we spoke to you on air was about a year ago this time, actually. Yep. So it was about a year before Texas and Steve Sarkisian took this step forward like they did this past season. Yep. Take us through what you saw during the season a little bit that maybe you think made this team special, and then what you see overall from a player's perspective right now looking at the Longhorns going forward.
They're looking good. Of course, coming to the SEC is going to be a little bit of tough, but I say Texas can take, they can take anything. We get the players. We got the upstairs. We got the support of the Eyes of Texas. So we can go into that conference and shake some things up. It's just one thing we got to do is be consistent and play and play every game like it's his last. And like I said, we got the coaching staff to do it. We got the head man over all of the organization, well, the program. And I think Texas can make, like I said, they can make a run this year and try to go win a national title.
What did you see from the team last year that you really thought was a difference maker for you of the games you watch?
Repeat yourself again. Sorry.
Yeah. What did you see in the team last year that you thought made them different than some previous years? What were a couple of things that you really said, that's different than what they've been?
Yeah. I saw the energy. They had high energy. One thing I do like about Texas at the moment is the swagger. The swagger is very, very high in the building. Sarkisian is doing a good job of, you know what I mean, motivating these guys to come in and play every single game. And I think the strength program has came back to Mac Brown days of the guys getting bigger, stronger, faster. And like I said, they're going to be able to hold up in the SEC, especially with the size we're bringing in with the recruiting and the players we have now. We got some big guys.
Hey, Jermichael, so I'm going to ask you to take the dad cap off for a second. Tell us about Caden as a player, what you see in him, and also Racine Guillory, who's committed to Texas in the 26 class at running back. What do you see in those guys as players and as prospects? What do you like about those guys?
Take my daddy cap off. If Caden wasn't my kid, he's one of those kids. He's Mr. Reliable. When the ball is there, he's going to catch it. He don't have too many MAs, that mental errors. And he's going to play four quarters. And that's what I like about a player like that. And he's going to come in and play every single down like it's his last. So that's what type of player that any school that gets him, they're going to love that. You know what I mean? He's not the kid that's going to go out and drink a beer or get in trouble or things like that. With Racine is he's a Le'Veon Bell type. He's a patient kid already as a sophomore. He finds holes. He creates holes. And the one thing we got to work with Racine is just getting him developed as far as getting bigger. And I think that with age, he's going to get bigger. And I think him committing to Texas is a big plus for Texas. The big thing is, can Texas keep him? Has been a big recruit on a national stage. Like I said, Texas got a good running back there in Racine Guillory for sure.
Got it. All right. So speaking with Jermichael Finley, Jerry, you and I remember Jermichael. He was in the same class as Martellus Bennett. You ever talked to a guy like Martellus Bennett who went to A&M and played in basketball against you and all that stuff? You guys were both football playing basketball tight ends that were pretty darn good in both sports. You ever keep up with that guy?
No, man. We got all ours. Man, I got five boys I'm raising. He got a tribe and a pack over there that he's raising. So it's not often that we get a hold to each other, but I do follow him daily, and he's doing very well. But no, I really don't. I really, man, now guys got their own lives now.
No, I just thought it was hilarious because I remember people were saying, how can the state of Texas have, because I think I ranked you and Martellus both in the top five in the country in tight ends. And literally, we just lost him. And literally, when we had him, Jerry, people were like, there's no way. Yep. There's two of the top five tight ends, and I was like, yeah, there is.
No, those guys are
either one of those two.
Look, the crazy thing is I saw both those guys on a basketball court first, I believe, because Jermichael was at Dye Ball High, and he played with Houston Hoops. He was originally committed to Arizona. Yep. Obviously, Hal Pastner owned Houston Hoops. Josh Pastner ended up walking on at Arizona, becoming a head coach at Memphis, and then Georgia Tech. So there was a strong Arizona connection with Houston Hoops back in that day. Even Steven Jackson was once headed there if he had gone to college. So that's the first time I saw Jermichael and Martellus actually was on a basketball court. And then you're like, okay, if these guys look like this on a basketball court, if they're bringing physicality on the football field, watch out. And Jermichael Finley still to this day, one of the the top two sport, true two sport Division I athletes that I've seen in my years doing this. JerMichael Finley was he was a hell of an athlete, man. He could have legitimately got minutes and played a role at Arizona in basketball. He was that level. He was that level athlete.
It sounds like the apple doesn't fall far from the tree for his son either, based on what you were hearing and what you've seen, Jerry, with his son. Yeah. Where does he rank as an athlete right now, his son?
Yeah, so I got a little update on that. So I've wondered, and we got cut off before I was going to ask JerMichael this about Caden, is there's been some thought that maybe he grows into a tight end. Obviously, JerMichael's 6'5", what he ended up being, 240, right? I think right now colleges are leaning to him sticking at wide receiver. I know Texas was through there last week. I believe it was Jeff Banks and Chris Jackson were by, and probably Tashard Choice as well, but were by Alito last week. And I think the colleges that are offering him right now are going to see him stick as a big wide receiver. And a guy that his athleticism is holding and maintaining as he gets bigger. I think 6'2", around 195 is probably pretty accurate for Caden right now. But he's picked up a number of Power 4 offers this spring. And he is very high on the board at Texas. I'll say this. If he wants to be a Texas Longhorn, I think he's going to have the opportunity to be as of right now.
Yeah, good stuff. All right. Jerry, it is that time of the morning to you. Sorry that we missed out on JerMichael Finley there, but he got disconnected, so that interview is complete. So it's time for our next read, and you know it's that time of the morning for some folks, not for me, but for some folks. Go ahead, Jerry. You've got our read for the day.
I'm holding the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Hey there, beach babes. Are you ready to soak up those summer vibes and unveil your ultimate beach body? Well, you're in luck because our friends at Manscaped have you covered from head to toe with the Performance Package 5.0 Ultra. This is the ultimate all-in-one grooming kit. Is set to have you looking and feeling your best in the summer sun. Trust Manscaped and unlock the confidence you need to turn heads this season. Join the 10 million men worldwide plus who trust Manscaped, and go to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with code ONTEXAS, all caps. Hey, let's make this summer your smoothest one yet. And let me just say this, guys. Let me just say this. For those sunny beach days, don't leave home without the Crop Preserver. That's the anti-chafing ball deodorant. Let the sun see you shine, not sweat, guys. Manscaped.com, on Texas, all caps, for 20% off. Don't forget that Crop Preserver when you're out in the sun.
You're so serious when you read those, Jerry. I mean, you're very, very serious.
I'm here to help. Look, I just came back from Florida. I put my feet on the beach a little bit in between school stops. And, man, look, it's summertime. Gotta get your Mac 5.0.
Hey, Jerry, one of the things I want to go back to, we were talking about commitments and whatnot, and James Simon, the running back out of Shreveport, announced yesterday that he is announcing on May 29th. We just mentioned Racing Guillory. He's class of 2026 out of Alito. Ricky Stewart, class of 2025 out of Tyler Chapel Hill. James Simon James Simon would be next in line, I guess, is the best way to put it. Is that where you see Texas getting its next commitment from? Or is this, you said it last night, I feel like it's not a well-kept secret that Texas is the heavy favorite for James Simon. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's the only official visit he has scheduled. I mean, that's the thing. And when CJ Vogel and I talked to him at the spring game, after the spring game, he mentioned that, look, the timeline may move up. And I asked him at that time, you know, what official visit do you have? Well, I have Texas 21st through 23rd. Anybody else? No. Well, I mean, it's hard to pick somebody else other than Texas in our business at that point in time. So I think he's a guy that Tashard Choice is always liked. He has a connection. Obviously, I think Tashard Choice to his father, who's a tremendous running back at Louisiana Tech, briefly in the NFL. His father's been a coach in the college level for over a decade. His father was once the AD at Dallas Roosevelt High, so there's some connections to Texas as well being from North Louisiana and playing at Louisiana Tech. So his father, there's a connection there with Deshaun Choice. And I think development at that position takes precedent. And I know, look, did Emmitt Smith need much developing? No. Did Barry Sanders? Probably not, right? But there's still development at the position. And if you're a coach's kid at running back, development's still really big, even if your kid's an instinctive, talented running back. So I think Deshaun Choice checks all those boxes for the Simon family right now. But it's interesting, you know, we've asked what other guys can move off timeline. I was at Hightower yesterday. I mentioned that we're going to have a 13-minute interview with Cade Phillips up later on Texas Football here coming up this afternoon or around lunchtime. And he's one that's sticking to his timeline, right? You know, late June, early July, has the A&M. He visited Baylor officially. I think he really likes Kevin Curtis, who I think does a great job in recruiting, but he's not going to Baylor. So you have A&M 7th through 9th, LSU the 14th through 16th, and Texas the 21st through 23rd. I think A&M's probably a distant third right now in that. And I think LSU and Texas are probably the top two. LSU recruiting him as a corner. Texas recruiting him as a DB, but leaning the safety because Blake Gideon's is the head man in that recruitment and expected by the school today, by the way, to watch a little spring football there, Blake Gideon at Hightower today. So, you know, most of these guys, they're going to go through this June official visit process and make those decisions late June, early July. Outside of James Simon, the one position I watch is offensive line a little bit. Now, could somebody or a couple of guys move off a timeline and make an early June decision? Quite possible. Now that the ball's rolling at offensive line, we'll see if these guys go through the entire month of June because offensive line guys tend to go off the board a little bit earlier than some of the other positions. Not necessarily an offensive left tackle. I'm talking about the other offensive line positions.
I'll tell you what, I'll get Matt, our producer, to create some grabs, some screens for people to see of who all's coming in on the various weekends for folks so that y'all can see that live as we're talking about him. Cade Phillips, you mentioned him, the defensive back out of Hightower down in Houston. Jerry, I consider him a high priority target for Texas. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, look, his head coach, Cornelius Anthony, obviously played at A&M, played in the NFL a little bit. I love what he does there in terms of culture, discipline, Hightower program. I think he does a great job. Those guys are very high. And Cornelius Anthony played the game at a high level. They're very high on Cade Phillips because he checks all the boxes along with being 6'2", 178, with an 80-inch wingspan, 10 and a quarter-inch hands, and a 24-7 long jump twice, two meets in a row. He went 23-11 at the state meet. So he's got the natural explosiveness. He's got the ball skills. That shows up at wide receiver as well as defensive back. And he's got that huge wingspan, catch radius, whatever you want to call it there. But he checks all the boxes, the mental boxes. So this is a guy who I think right now, everybody that's recruiting him, all the coaches at Hightower, myself after being him around them multiple times, thinks this is a kid that's going to go maximize his talent. And when you have the talent level of Cade Phillips, if you go maximize that talent, you're going to play football for a living on some level. It's just where and how long. He's that level prospect for me.
Yeah, anytime somebody's long jumping 24-7, they can get out, get it. Hey,
as a junior in high school, I mean.
Are you concerned or is anybody concerned about Texas recruiting him as a DB, not just a true corner? Because he's a corner safety or corner. I hear some people are recruiting him just as a corner. What's going on there?
Yeah, so I think, look, he says that he will play anywhere in the secondary. Does he prefer corner? Yeah. Do I think that's going to be the deciding factor for him? If he comes down to LSU in Texas and he says, you know what, him and his family say, Texas is the place for me. I don't think he's going to turn away Texas because he'd play safety there. I do think the schools that are recruiting him at corner have a strong message because that's what he prefers. But I don't think it's an absolute deal breaker for him at the end of the day. I think that's fun, the stuff to talk about. But I don't see that being a deal breaker at the end of the day if Texas is where he wants to be. And we'll see if that becomes the case here in June right now. I mean, I think Corey Raymond's done a good job in that recruitment. He went to LSU for the first time in April. He's been on campus at Texas in April as well. Obviously, his brother, Kenneth Phillips, was a really good linebacker coming out of Fort Bend that signed with Texas A&M, had a devastating knee injury. I was never able to come back on the field. He's set to graduate from A&M in December, I believe. The mom and dad, it's a close-knit family. He's going to stay close to home. And it'll come down to where's that place going to be. But I don't think it's going to be an absolute deal breaker. If he feels like Texas is a school for him at the end of the day, I don't think that's going to keep him from going to Texas. I'll say that. So we've had some other questions at corner as well. Like, is Dorian Brew the only top number one guy left on the board? I'm just here to tell you, Aiden Anning is one of those guys for Texas. They absolutely love Aiden Anning. I know he's a little later to the party in recruiting because he was a basketball guy that really returned to football. But then when he went to that Under Armour camp in Dallas, I mean, the numbers that kid put up, the testing numbers plus the video that goes out to colleges from that event were kind of eye-opening. Terry Joseph and Texas got on him early. They were by the school last week again. Aiden Anning will be on campus for an official visit June 21st through 23rd. I really think Texas and Miami are going to battle this one out. He's going to visit Arkansas. He's going to visit TCU. We'll see if anybody else jumps in. But Texas, it may not show up in recruiting rankings, but Aiden Anning's a – if Dorian Brew's a 1A, then Aiden Anning's a 1B. And Texas really likes Caleb Chester as a cover guy as well, who's coming in June 7th through 9th. And then there's Devin Williams, the wild card recruit at corner for me out of Buford. He's never been on campus before, but the Shard Toys, Kenny Baker, were by that school a couple weeks ago, and they really like – Texas really likes what Devin Williams can be at corner. The kicker there with that recruitment, he's committed to Auburn. He visits Auburn June 14th through 16th. He's scheduled to visit Texas the 21st through 23rd. Obviously, Auburn will try to get him to cancel that visit. He's the wild card at corner, but a talented kid if you've watched the video. He's got that wingspan and those ball skills. Really reminds me a lot of Javion Cole, to be honest.
Dorian Brew out of Conroe, just for people keeping up, not familiar with these names. Dorian Brew out of Conroe. Aiden Anning out of Ruston, Louisiana. Caleb Chester, another Fort Bend area school guy at Marshall. Devin Williams out of Buford, Georgia. Hey, Jerry, that's interesting. Two DBs from Fort Bend.
Yeah.
Texas has not recruited Fort Bend heavily in the last decade.
That's been the weak spot, Bobby. You've mentioned this before. That's been – if there's been a weak spot for Texas, it's been Fort Bend over the last, 15 years?
Yep.
There have been a lot of really good players come out of Fort Bend. They're not always the most highly ranked guys. But there is – and I'm here to tell you, Hightower is going to continue to have players. Fort Bend Marshall is one of the fastest high schools in the state of Texas. They're going to continue to have guys. And then Ridge Point is a school that you better know who the kids are at Ridge Point, because in Siena, the neighborhood that feeds into Ridge Point, that's where a lot of the pro athletes, TJ Ford's son went through there. Sean Rogers' daughter is committed to SMU in volleyball. We had him on the show. She plays at Ridge Point. And Duque Kalu's son is at Baylor. He played at Ridge Point. There's more former NFL, former pro athletes, kids coming up in Ridge Point. Very talented. Roland Seymour's son was there for a brief while. I think he's going to be at Elkins next year, the quarterback, the 26th quarterback. But there's going to be a number of talented kids come through Ridge Point. That's an important school to know who they are early on, because Ridge Point is going to be one of the most talented schools in the Houston area for a while.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at it. I just think of guys that Texas has not really recruited real hard down in that area. And I'm looking at C.D. Lamb, you know, a great player for the Cowboys and OU. Devin Achane, lighting it up with the Dolphins, played well for a while at A&M. They've got to do better down in that area for sure. All right. Hey, we're going to have time for some questions here to finish this off. Let's start it off with Jay Lee. Our classes end good, but I would have thought that after a season like last year, recruiting would be incredible already. Am I expecting too much? So I think this is a fair question. Texas at seven commitments right now. And I don't think Steve Sarkisian wants to categorically change how he operates based on how good the team is. And what I mean by that is he still wants this spring evaluation period.
Yes.
And he wants to fill out as many kids as he can. One of the things that always, I talked to a guy named Phil Fulmer, former head coach at Tennessee Volunteers, used to say this all the time. He goes, look, I have to make a scholarship decision. And I've talked to the kid maybe twice ever in my life. I just have to see video. What if he doesn't even, you know, he's just not for me, but his film looks unbelievable. Well, by delaying their commitments or really knowing who you want when you want them, it gives you a better sense for who your future team is. I don't think you're going to come out. I don't think Texas will ever necessarily come out with guns blazing in recruiting.
Right.
Now, that's not Steve Sarkisian. You agree with that, Jerry?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Now, at the same time, is Texas where Georgia is and Ohio State is? No, they haven't had that success long enough yet. I mean, Georgia won that back-to-back national titles, played for another one, right? They became the cool program in college football. I mean, and Ohio State, the run of success they've had, right? Texas is building towards that. But, yeah, to your point, though, look, Texas isn't trying to get a ton of guys in the boat right now. But to also understand, here's the other thing with that. USC's tried to get a lot of guys in the boat in this class. Watch how many of those guys actually sign with USC. See how much that changes from these early commitments until when these guys make final decisions. So there's a give and take with that. Could Texas have more guys committed? Sure. But those guys are still going to want to go make official visits in June. So what do you really have at that point? You have a public commitment, but what does it really mean? So I think Georgia and Ohio State are on a different level than Texas because of the length of their success in recent years. I think Texas is building to that. But even if Sark builds to that, I don't think you're going to see Sark with 15 commitments right now in a class. I just don't believe that's going to happen. I think there's a point to what Steve Sarkisian said in an interview over the weekend is they're not going to sacrifice culture for guys. And so the only way you ensure you do that is to have those guys on campus multiple times, their parents on campus multiple times, and make sure that's the correct marriage. Now, I'll say this. As you have more success as a program, more sustained success, what happens with that? You get more kids to campus earlier than ever. So that process does start earlier. The one advantage that Nick Saban had over everybody in college football for years, he could get every kid to campus he wanted when he wanted. And if you have enough sustained success, Texas will be the same way. And so that's one area I could see Sark moving up his timeline with some of these kids is if you've had them on campus 3-4 times from their sophomore year on and they're national kids and you feel really good about that and those kids want to be in the class, then you're not going to turn away a player that you think is a difference maker. But I do think the process is very important to Steve Sarkisian here. He's not trying to stick a number of commitments on the wall right now.
Yeah, that's the key, right? I mean, it's not about being done so your staff doesn't have to work harder later, right? And that we've seen that. I mean, it's not about a number. It's about getting the best fits and the players. And Jay's making a legitimate point. There is that thought process. Oh, well, now we're winning. Recruiting should just follow. Well, you're still recruiting recruiting for players that are also considering other schools like that.
I mean,
Georgia, Alabama, when you're going into Georgia, in Florida, you're not recruiting against Oklahoma and Arkansas and TCU and that sort of stuff. I mean, you're a little bit different animal. And I think that people have to appreciate that.
And again, I mean, for instance, there's a kid that Texas offered in March. He's not a kid that will end up at Texas. Kid named Isaiah Gibson at Warner Robins. He goes to USC. USC got him committed. Hey, great. That looks great. You know what? He's taking 6 official visits and USC isn't one of them. So what is that commitment worth? Nothing. 0. But good for getting the commitment. Looks great for about 24 hours or a couple weeks.
Hey, Jerry, this is something I want to mention here real quick. Daryl Klein had this question. Is Coach Flood already on some of the top 2026 O-line? I know he is with John Turntine up in Dallas area at Crowley, but are there others that he's in line for already? Because I know you mentioned this. They're trying to recruit a year ahead to some level.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think that's what I think that's what Flood may be doing in the Houston area today. All right, Texas fans, I'm going to put y'all on offer watch, kind of hang out later. Let's see what happens here. But in 2026 at the offensive line, let's see what happens there. I got somebody in mind today. We'll see what happens. But yes, John Turntine, Toa Katoa, Euless Trinity, those two guys could commit to Texas right now. Kyle Flood, Texas coaches, were at those schools last week at North Crowley and Euless Trinity. Both those guys could commit to Texas. There's a kid, I will butcher his first name, I won't say it, but Primus, I believe, out of Midland High, a 2026 offensive lineman. He was at Texas, I believe, for the spring game. He's a guy that I would be surprised if Texas doesn't offer at a June camp this summer. So I think there's a kid in the Houston area that may be up for an offer soon in 2026. Very talented interior player, guard. So I got you guys on offer watch today. So take a look out a little bit later today on that one. And then I think, look, Texas is also looking at some kids nationally. They offered Brisson Martinez out of Gonzales, Louisiana, East Ascension, elite kid. So Kyle Flood was down in enemy territory a couple of weeks ago in that Baton Rouge area, offering him. So Texas is looking nationally at a number of guys. I'm actually going to have an update on later this morning on TexasFootball.com about one of the very best 26 offensive linemen in the country, not from the state of Texas.
Good stuff, Jerry. Thank you for adding that offer watch comment as well. Horn 7, is Blake still on the show? Yes, Blake is on vacation. Blake gets to, believe it or not, Blake has to go on vacation every so often. It is now that time of year. He actually had some couple of his kids graduating from either elementary school or middle school this year. That's one of the ones. Let's go to Isaiah Stewart's question.
I love this. Okay, so
I always wondered what makes Texas high school football the greatest in the nation. Jerry, you've been around. I've been around. Yeah. I counted one time. I've seen high school football games live in 17 different states, yeah. Like actual live high school football. I do think it's the best in the nation. Yeah. I want to hear why you think it is or isn't.
So this is a great topic because, again, I was in Florida last week and I lived in Florida for several years and was doing this job nationally. and I would always have high school coaches in Florida when they realized where I was from. Hey, what makes it so great in Texas? And I think Texas is the best Friday night high school football experience and high school football in the country. Bar none, I think it's by far the best. Georgia's caught up from paying the coaches and the facilities. Their product has gotten a lot better in the last decade. They've kind of copied the Texas model, which is smart. Florida's not set up for that at all. They don't even have youth football and middle school football in a lot of counties in that state. But I think the Friday night football is just the best by far in the country. And look, and that's not taken away from Ohio and some other places, but just think about how many high schools there are in Texas, and they do it right from the middle school football to the booster clubs to the Friday night experience. I've said this story many times before, but I used to call games in South Florida for local TV stations. And you could be at a high school football game with 10, 12, 15 Division I players on the field and 1,200 people in the stands.
Yeah,
that's not a great Friday night experience for the kids. I mean, the buildup, everything that goes into the week before a game in Texas high school football, the media coverage, the communities, everything's just – it's just amazing, right? Does that mean I believe Texas is the most talented state necessarily? Per capita, no. They're top 10. But from a Friday night high school experience, it's unquestionably the best. If you're a high school football player, it's the best place to play.
I think there's that, and there's also the reality of coaching. I mean, I go back to this. You're right. I mean, there could be great players from Montana or, you know, Pahokee, Florida, or – you know, Washington, D.C. I mean, great players come from everywhere. Now, yeah. Per capita, you're right. There's spots, and Texas is definitely one of those. Houston, Dallas, parts in between. The difference for me has been the commitment of the high school coaches and then the commitment of the communities behind them.
Yeah.
And so I am amazed. I go to the Texas High School Coaches Convention about once every 3 or 4 years. I don't go every year. But literally when I walk into that building, what are there, 1,000 to 5,000 high school coaches around the state of Texas that are there, and they're serious about getting better at their craft.
Yeah.
It's not just a boondoggle to go drink beer with your friends. Now that happens, But after 7 or 8 hours of classroom talking about, you know, how we're going to lead block this certain play, or how we're going to, you know, what is cover two, et cetera, where young coaches are being taught by older coaches that have been successful, and they're pouring back into the into their craft, really, is what they're doing. And Texas is the only state, only state that has that much that much gift of giving back to it. And then I will say, I would add this alongside it, Texas high schools, the actual communities put money into athletics with their tax dollars. And part of that is there are no state taxes in the state of Texas. And so if you want to have a bond for a big stadium or whatever, locally, you could do that. It's harder in Georgia, for example, even where there are state taxes.
I've always said this about the state of Texas, and this is a it's a great compliment I'm giving here. What makes the state of Texas in high school football so great can also be its negative. So you have great coaching, you have athletic periods every day, you have great support, as all we talk, all the stuff we talked about. So Texas does create a little bit more closer to finished products in a lot of instances versus a raw state like a Florida, which doesn't have those things, right? I mean, St. Thomas Aquinas, there's a few schools that do, right? But again, like when you look at what makes Texas great, you also have a few more finished products. So college coaches, and that's something that Sarkisian, any coach at A&M, coaches Oklahoma, they have to kind of look at and weigh sometimes is, okay, this kid from Texas, a tremendous player, how much is left in his ceiling versus some kids at other states possibly that we're recruiting. That plays into it in recruiting sometimes. And that's not every kid, but there's more of those kids in Texas. It's just something that plays into recruiting on a national level for all these coaches. So when you go down to a Florida, for instance, and I compare those two states a lot because when you compare population and numbers of guys that go D1 from those states, those are the top two. California's fallen way off. Georgia's actually number three to me. Now, when you combine everything, and Georgia per capita may be number one in NFL guys right now. But Florida is the opposite. Like, I was in Duval County to see Jamie French last week. Duval County actually does play middle school, junior high football, whatever you call it. That is a county-to-county thing in the state of Florida. In South Florida, they don't have middle school football. It's youth football, and that's crazy stuff. If you haven't been to those games, they're fun and wild. I don't know if you've been, Bobby. It's a different world. But so they don't even have the middle school football component. You don't have 9-10 full-time coaches at a lot of these schools. So you don't have the athletic period every day. You don't have the setup. So that's what kind of makes our job fun in a lot of ways, is who has the most upside in some of these states versus other states, and a player versus a player at the same position. It kind of, it's one of the things that makes it so much fun, this job, going around seeing all these kids.
Yeah. My favorite, my second favorite was Ohio.
Yeah.
I went to a Canton McKinley Mansfield game up there, and it was outstanding. All right. Hey, I just announced a little bit of breaking news here. University of Texas, the first game of the season has been the start time has been announced, as well as the television. Texas will play Colorado State at 2:30 on ESPN. Get your sunshade out here. It's going to be a hot one.
I suggest Gooder and a duck camp hat.
I think you're
probably maybe an on Texas football shirt.
2:30, according to the university. They literally just released that information in the last 5 minutes. The first game of the season versus Colorado State will be at 2:30 on ESPN. So it is going to be baking out there. The guys from Fort Collins are going to be coming in, Jerry. They're going to be practicing that cooler weather, and all of a sudden they're going to be hit with 105 and humid. They may wilt a little bit, bud. They may wilt.
And if you think Sark's not going to play a lot of guys on defense in that game, hey, I mean, hey, Xavier Filson, me, Jordan Johnson, Bell, some of you guys, young guys, if you happen to be watching this May, I'm watching our show, as a lot of guys do, or their families. Everybody better be ready to play in that game.
Yeah, Hey, they're going to have to wait till the third and fourth quarter, too, whenever the score may be out of hand, we think. All right, hey, before we take some more questions, I want to say thank you to our sponsor. Anyone shopping for electricity in the deregulated areas of Texas, TexasElectricityRatings.com is the best place to find a great electricity plan for your household. For starters, it filters out the dangerous and gimmicky plans from providers that are all hat and no cattle. When it comes to your monthly bill, you can shop by rate, but also by an average bill feature that actually takes into account seasonal usage to give you a real number and not some placeholder. So if you're looking for a new electricity plan, check out TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF for the best options available to you. And that is TexasElectricityRatings.com. Thank you for your sponsorship of Coffee and Football. We couldn't do this without our sponsors, that's for sure. And we really, really do appreciate it. All right, let's head back to the chat line, get some more questions going. This one from Rich Thompson. About your industry, how many D1 programs have multiple outlets like OTF? I know Ohio State, A&M, OU have multiple podcast competition, but how about a program like Baylor, for example? You know, Rich, I don't know that answer. I've been doing this for a long period of time. I was a COO of Rivals, for example, back in the day, and we managed all these people and then started 24/7 Sports and did all that. We always thought there were about 15 schools that were A1 schools. And that's what you're really describing. Schools that can really handle multimedia, multi-partners in media. Because our goal was always to have the number one or number two website for that particular team. And as we got down to the 30th or 40th ranked team, if you didn't have the number one ranked site, you didn't have anything. And to give you an example, Virginia Tech might be one of those, yeah. Right? They're not a tier, they're definitely can be a tier one program, but from a fan base perspective, even though they've got a good fan base and all this other stuff, they weren't considered a high tier one. They were like a 1AA. So I hope that makes sense to you, Rich. There are a lot of good people out there that do good work at the University of Texas. I'm really I'm partial to the folks at Third and Longhorn. I know Nick Shuley and those guys, and I know they try to do things the right way. So
by the way, I want to congratulate our community here for because we have a lot of people join it different times, different days. We're over 46,100 subscribers to on Texas football here. So thank you to all you guys for continuing to pass the word. And why is that number meaningful? We're now number two in all college team coverage markets on YouTube. So thank you guys for helping make that happen. Ryan Nelson, are we doing a 50K live stream? You damn right.
Hey, here's a couple of questions here. Antoine, Jerry, what's up? What's next up for Tyler Thomas, the offensive lineman from Dickinson? Bobby, can you give us a little Donnie Little story, also a Dickinson native? Donnie Little's a little bit ahead of my time. He played in the 70s at Texas, but my dad took me to go see Donnie Little play in high school. That's my first remembrance of Donnie Little. I grew up down on the southeast side of Houston, and Donnie Little was a big name in high school football back at that time. Andre Ware, Heisman Trophy winner, also a Dickinson High Gator. What's the deal with Tyler Thomas there?
Yeah, Greg? It'd be interesting. You know, Texas A&M, LSU, the main three there for him. Texas was by the school last week. I saw him at a workout. I believe that was in January. I was down there. He's recovered really well. He had season-ending foot surgery, I believe game two. So he missed the majority of his junior season. But he's come back really well. Very good player. I mean, look, here's the reality. And I've been saying this for 2025 offensive line recruiting in Texas. If you're Texas A&M, Oklahoma, and LSU, you should get really good players on the offensive line out of Texas in this class. I mean, there's a lot of depth on the offensive line in Texas. And I don't care who's ranked 1, 3, 5, 7. There's going to be a bunch of guys out of this state. They're going to end up in the future NFL drafts. Probably at the offensive line. And some of those guys will be ranked high. Some of those guys will be ranked a little lower. But Tyler Thomas, a very good player. And now with Jackson Christian at Texas, what does that do for Tyler Thomas with A&M in Texas, right? Brad Davis making a run at LSU there. So we'll see. He's scheduled to be at A&M, I think, June 14th through 16th, and Texas the 21st through 23rd. Those visits remain as scheduled, so nothing's changed as far as the visits. He looks good this spring from what I've heard.
Good stuff, Jerry. Hey, this one from Nate Russ. I want to continue on this. A lot of talk about the Aggies being pretty good this year. Bobby, are you buying it? Hard for me to believe. I think that they could be very good. But their problem is, Jerry, and I want your comment on this.
Yep.
They are one deep at too many positions. Now, Nick Scowerton, I think is how you say his last name, was a big add from Purdue. Yep. Was an all Big Ten player. That's going to be a guy that adds some havoc to their defense. They did lose a lot to the portal. They gained some, but I'm just not sure. I worry if I were an Aggie fan, I would say, are we just one deep after we had so much attrition on those last two recruiting classes? That's where, but Connor Wegman, if he's healthy, is a terrific quarterback prospect.
Good player.
The two guys behind him are not bad players.
Right.
And proved it in the bowl game. Right. So my take on it, Jerry, is they have the pieces. Do they have enough pieces? You know, are they 22 deep or are they 20? Are they 44 deep? Yeah. Right now, I think they're closer to 22 deep.
CJ and I actually went over some spring portal additions here with a video yesterday. You guys can watch that. I thought A&M has four really good additions in the spring portal window for them. The defensive end edge out of UCF, Salazar, had 100 tackles, three sacks, three forced fumbles the last 2 years at UCF, headed to A&M. That's a good depth piece, to Bobby's point. They lost. Look, they're going to be very good up front on the defensive line at A&M. They've built some more depth through the portal there. Obviously, Scouten, he's going to be a first-round pick. That guy's a stud from Bryan High School that went up to Purdue as a under-recruited three-star guy. They're not all four-star and five-star guys. A tremendous, tremendous player there. I like the offensive lineman they got out of Utah. Okay, I can't pronounce his name. Koli Fuai, I believe
he's center.
Started the last eight games for Utah at center. So A&M just upgraded their center position in my eyes. The key for A&M next season is going to be offensive line and the health of that offensive line. They were bad up front last year. They were playing a guard at tackle. The freshman Besantes, he could be a very good guard. Stick him in at tackle, tougher for him, especially as a freshman. I think if he plays guard, they're a better offensive line. But the offensive line, how much improvement have they made there? What's their depth going to look like? You're going to have injuries on the offensive line. Not many people have a season like Texas did 2 years ago where all guys start every game, right? That doesn't happen very often. So you're going to have some injuries up front. What is that offensive line going to look like? To your point, you got to protect Connor Wegman. He's a few injuries in his career now. So he's kind of dangling a little bit on how long he can go through all those injuries he's had because they're not minor ones, right? So that offensive line is going to be key. You know the defensive line is going to be good. I like the linebacker they took out of Pitt. DeShields, I think, is a good player. I think he'll be a solid linebacker for them. They took a tight end out of East Carolina who will be good number two tight end for them, I believe. A guy that has about 65 career catches at East Carolina. So I think they've added good parts. Again, to your point, it's the depth. And I really look at offensive line for Texas A&M next year. That is going to tell the tale of their season for me.
All right. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you all for everybody from tuning in. I mean, we had a guy from Argentina on today, along with Poland. And here's this one, Philip Barber. Hello from the North Pacific Ocean. I mean, is that Alaska? I mean, I didn't know there was anything in the North Pacific Ocean. Russia? Maybe? I mean, what's over there? Philip, you'll have to tell us. Also, thank you to Jermichael Finley for joining us. Really appreciate him. Congratulations to he and his family on his degree from the University of Texas this weekend. Congratulations also to Jackson Christian, the Port Neches Groves offensive lineman, commits to the University of Texas yesterday evening. A big pickup there for Kyle Flood. As Jerry said, the Longhorns may be on offer watch there a little bit today as well for another player. And then also thank you to Texas Electricity Ratings and Manscaped for sponsoring today's show and being a part of it. Jerry, before we let people go, one last thing. Forgot to mention this. 2:30 kickoff for Texas versus Colorado State. That has just been announced. It will be televised on ESPN. Ryan Nelson, you're out there saying Bobby's going to be sweating. Yes, I will be. There's every chance I will be sweating at 2:30 on whatever it is, September 1.
By the way, there's a little some win totals have been released this morning through Action Network. Georgia 10.5, Texas 10.5, Bama 9.5, LSU 9.5, Missouri 9.5, Ole Miss 9.5, Tennessee 9.5, A&M 8.5, Auburn 7.5, Oklahoma 7.5. So if you want to take a look at that, and what from that list, Texas has a really good schedule first year in the SEC. I'll say that.
Yep. All right. That's going to do it. Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. We'll be back today with the recruiting breakdown. We also have the live stream tonight. We may also going to have that interview, special interview. Jerry hooked up with Cade Phillips, the big high priority defensive back out of Fort Bend Hightower that we talked about a little bit this morning. For Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. Hook 'em. Congratulations again, Jackson Christian.